D&D. Dungeon Academy. No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 2. Wearing her porridge, Zelie reached for the wooden sword strapped to her back, leaping to her feet as three owlbears trundled up to the table, looming over her and their horned, feathered brethren. She only hoped her horns weren't falling off her head, giving her away.
"You forgot this, Hugo."
A brown, shaggy owlbear, missing a good deal of his head feathers, dropped a half-eaten turkey leg near them.
"Pick it up and eat it."
Zelie recognized a leg dropper from her tricksters and traps class. He sat in the back and never raised his hand, and mumbled out a wrong answer whenever called upon, then scoffed like maybe learning things was the dumbest idea in the world. There was a mean glint to his red eyes that Zelie didn't appreciate.
"If you don't mind, I was trying to finish my reading," Zelie growled.
She glanced at the big owlbear Hugo still cowering on the floor. The dining chamber had gone silent. Great. Attention. The last thing she wanted. She also wasn't keen on catching detention time for this. She had almost gotten in big trouble with Professor Cantrip the week before when she helped up a student in the hall who had tripped and scattered their homework. No kindness allowed at Dungeon Academy.
"Put the sword down or quarrel with him!" Another owlbear joined to loom over them and sneer.
"Owlbears hunt! They kill! They eat what they hunt, and they're proud of it! They don't eat salad!"
The last word came out like a curse. Zelie raised a bow, and, well, she raised her brow and her sword a little higher.
"This is all over salad? You wouldn't get it,"
the shaggy, bedraggled owlbear muttered.
"This is who we are. It is what we do. Why even come to the academy if you're not going to behave like a real owlbear?"
"He looks real enough to me,"
Zelie replied. A few kobolds had wandered over to see what the fuss was all about. As soon as she raised her sword, the mycnoid table cleared off, leaving behind nothing but a cloud of green spores.
"Leave him alone! Who cares if he wants to eat lettuce?"
"We care!"
another owlbear grunted.
"Pick up the meat, Hugo, and eat it!"
It was true that Zelie had never seen an owlbear, especially one of Hugo's immense size. Shiver in fear on the ground, using a minotaur as a shield. And she had never seen one dive headfirst into a bowl of greens either. But it didn't seem like he deserved this treatment. A few gnolls joined the circle forming around them, and then the Salati noticed too. Zelie scrunched up her nose, realizing this was becoming a real scene. She glanced around for help, then remembered nobody would stick up for her or for someone like Hugo. They might not pick a fight with her, but they weren't above gawking at whatever was about to happen right in the middle of the dining chamber. A chant began, chasing around the room and growing louder.
"Eat it! Eat it! Eat it!"
Hugo made a soft, strangled sound out of his beak and covered his face with both feathered arms. Zelie had seen enough. She kicked the turkey drumstick hard enough to send it sailing into the pond in the corner. Then she drew in a big, fortifying breath and let loose one of her minotaur roars. The chanting died down. The owlbears froze and then scattered. Their audience broke up, too. But not before a few fingers and claws were pointed, a few whispers had, and a few laughs shared at their expense. She had just defended a big loser in front of everyone, in front of half the academy. She hardly cared about the owlbear one way or the other, but other students cared, and they wouldn't forget. Zelie wiped a glob of porridge off the end of her nose and returned her sword to its sheath. Then she turned and offered Hugo her hand. Well, she thought, I'm already in deep. In for a copper, in for a gold.
Are you all right?
She asked.
Only wounded with pride, I'm afraid,
Hugo spoke with a gentle lip, softer and sweeter than the other owlbears who had come to yell at him about his eating habits. They wandered back to her quiet end of the table. Zelie picked up her fallen book and used her sleeve to clean off the food splattered across the cover.
Thank you,
he said, shy. He was one of the largest owlbears at the academy, white and brown, with a silvery glint to the ends of his feathers. His curved beak was butter yellow, and his eyes sky blue.
I never expected to be saved from bullies by a bully.
Zelie frowned and hunched over her book.
I am not a bully.
Hugo blinked at her rapidly.
Nobody wants to be on the wrong end of your roar. Last semester, you kept that goblin Dennis, the Thorax, from throwing a mimic off the third-story battlement. And last week, you chased Fleshmaster off the goreball pitch for that skinny kobold with one ear.
Maybe he had a point.
I only did that for the kobold because I wanted his new training sword, and it's not like Fleshmelter was going to use it. He's a gelatinous cube. He doesn't even have hands. That doesn't make me a bully.
A bully of bullies, then.
Hugo's eyes twinkled. Something like a hero. She snorted and tried to fish a bit of porridge out of her bowl with a crooked finger.
I'm certainly no hero. I'm a nobody.
Not at all. We are all beginning to take notice. You champion the small, the shy, the non-threatening,
he explained. Zelie groaned. That's just what she didn't need, to be known as Queen of the Losers. Delightful.
And even if you think you're a nobody, I am grateful all the same,
he replied, inclining his head with decidedly an owlbear-like grace. He then reached over and swiped a porridge-covered mushroom from her shoulder with one claw.
You like plants, huh?
She asked. The pendulum outside the corridor clanged, beginning to signal the end of their free hour.
Well, this is a fungus,
Hugo replied, indicating the wilted mushroom. He chuckled as if everyone knew that.
But indeed, I'm quite fascinated by all things herbal, fungal, and floral. Plants are endlessly interesting and also delicious. In fact, many habitats could be protected and thrive if we pledge to eat less meat.
The final pendulum clanged. Chased Zelie out of her seat, book under her arm with Hugo tagging along behind her. She shot a look at him over his shoulder, and they filed out toward the spiral staircase leading down to the first dungeon hall.
You're nice and all, but I gotta go it alone, she said. Nobody remember.
Hugo appeared not to hear her, still committed to extolling the virtues of his plant-only diet.
Why, my own herd decimated the Hartle Glade, and to damage the ecosystem was unimaginable. It became a dead place, uninhabitable, all because we could not temper our greed for meat. The same occurred in Starwood Forest. It is practically an epidemic of devastation. And I am not even demanding much, just moderation. There must be a different way.
Like everyone eating salad?
She teased, Colt rushing up to meet them as they joined the stream of students lining up for the stairs.
Perhaps, he chuckled. Perhaps.
You're one strange owlbear, Hugo,
Zelly said, shaking her head. How kind! Thank you!
The path down to the dungeons curved around and around, ominous sighs and whispers of unknown origin hissing up like evil steam from the sheer drop of them on their left. That pit went to impossible depths, and Zelly suspected that not even their illustrations dean knew what was lurking down there. The students crowded to the right, making the delve in pairs and trios, swapping stories and complaints and compliments.
This is my third go-round with Horde Management. There's just so much stupid math,
the lanky gnoll girl ahead of them grumbled to her friend, sticking a wad of chewed gum into a wrapper and then flicking it into the forever pit.
Intro to Skull King isn't so bad,
her kobold companion said with a shrug.
Professor Scream Shatter goes easy on us at least.
Zelly jumped, startled by Hugo the owlbear tugging on her linen sleeve. Tucked into one of the brazier cloves to their right, a rotund little kobold with one jagged ear up and one down, paced and shrieked at another student.
Bah!
A mimic currently transformed to appear like a rather serious book. A book, she discovered, with a full mouth of jagged gleaming teeth, and even shinier metal braces.
None of our business,
Zelly whispered, urging Hugo down the next stair.
But we might intervene!
Hugo stopped short, the students behind them forced to go around the big feathered roadblock.
Just as you intervened for me. Look at that poor dusty book. It needs our help.
This is how you get into trouble,
Zelly told him. But it did look unfair. Unjust. The kobold, even if it wasn't the scariest creature around, stood a head taller than the mimic, jabbing a finger into its face, which at that moment was two decorative pastely swirls and a horizontal slice in the book's leather cover. Before Zelly could pull Hugo down the stairs, the kobold noticed them hovering and glared in their direction. She was familiar with him from class, but had never bothered to learn his name. He seemed to size up Zelly, perhaps recognizing her, and jabbed a tiny clawed finger in her direction.
Tell this useless hunk of junk to do what it's meant to do, and change forms.
Missing a number of juvenile teeth, the kobold spat in 100 directions as he talked, his voice like the scrape of a whetstone across steel. He whirled back to face the trembling mimic book and pointed at them instead.
Do it! Transform! Anger me not! For my cousin is a dragon!
Zelly couldn't help but roll her eyes. That lizard pup couldn't possibly be related to a dragon. Not in a million years would a drake be caught with a sniveling kobold. But the lie was so outrageous she almost respected it. That kind of audacious delusional thinking might actually take the little kobold far at Dungeon Academy for growing up to challenge adventurers and heroic humans took courage, and he might at least have that.
I can't do that,
the mimic wailed, pages ruffling.
Shields are for fighting. And fighting is dangerous.
Right before their eyes, the mimic shrank down into a small box with a lid and mold handles and a miniature dancer turning behind a glass pane, gentle, tinkling music drifting out into the icy cold dungeon. Then it transformed again, this time into a quill. Then it returned to the initial book form and whimpered.
See? Nice things only. Nothing dangerous.
Leave the paperweight alone, Kobold,
Zelly warned, gesturing for Hugo to follow her.
Come on, we're going to be late for horrible humans.
As if to remind them of just that, the pendulum in the corridor above clanged twice, the sound reverberating down around them loud enough to make Zelly's ears ring.
I'm not a paperweight! Just because I was voted least likely to change in the yearbook doesn't mean I'm useless,
the mimic insisted, sliding forward with strange, smooth momentum. There were no legs attached to the book, but the mimic had no problem jetting around, almost like the slime students.
I'm Bulble! This is Snabla. He's my friend when he's got, well, when he's not being a horrible meanie.
Horrible meanie?
The kobold Snabla shrieked, sticking out his forked tongue at them all. A rickety wooden shield was strapped to his back, hardly more than refuse a few old boards nailed together and mended hundreds of times. He had badly painted the wood and nails to look like a dragon scales.
My cousin?
If your cousin is a dragon, then my cousin is the Lord Protector,
Zella teased.
Humph!
They all rushed downward, driven to haste by the pendulum's insistent clanging, the only temperature growing colder by the step.
I only wanted to know what it felt like to be hoist a mighty shield. A true kobold of worth must carry. The kind seen upon the likes of my father, the great worm Sneef, the unending. Hiss with a shield of fine dragon leather, and with it he hoarded mountains of gold, gold even to rival the hordes of dragons.
First the dragon cousin, and now the Sneef, the unending. Zelly was beginning to think this kobold really was imagining things. The book tucked under her arm seemed to grow heavier. Then again, she had just discovered that her own mother might be Aladora Steelstrike, the sodding, unyielding blade and topic of the next class. This secret to her origin had been there all along, and only unearthed now thanks to a stupid assignment. She pinched the bridge of her nose, suddenly aware that Hugo and the scuffle with the owlbears, and now this business with Snabla and Bobble, had all just been a momentary distraction. She didn't want to think about the fact that she could be the long-lost daughter of an epic human hero. While she grew more and more nervous with each descended stair, Hugo gently raised a question to Snabla, his voice ever kind and solicitous.
Why did you not inherit your father's fine shield, Snabla?
I'm not worthy,
the kobold lamented, throwing his weary arms into the air.
My father thinks me a coward.
You are, Bobble sniffed. You want me to turn into that mighty shield for you? How would that ever prove your worthiness to anyone? I've actually done quite a bit of reading on kobold culture, and cheating your way to that shield would bring far more dishonor than just never inheriting it in the first place, in fact.
Don't go proving your worthiness,
Zelly warned them all into rumming the mimic's lecture. They at least reached the dark end, dripping gloom of the first dungeon level. Puddles and cracks abounded, and behind those cracks peaks at perilous lava pools far below.
Me? I'm going to fail whatever I have to do, over and over again, so they don't send me off to the dungeons.
That makes two cowardices,
Snabla cut in, reacting and racing to catch up to Zelly and walk beside her. They stopped outside the second massive door on the left, shuffling into the mass of students who had gathered for History of Horrible Humans. While they waited, Hugo tucked a few claws under his chin and made a soft, thoughtful sound.
"There is some merit to what you say, Zelly," he told them.
Bobble's pastely swirl eyes blinked in confusion.
"For students sent to terrorize Horn Tree Village have not returned, and they are the oldest, most terrifying among us. Paddy was just named Valedictorian, and Gutrash is the captain of the Gorball team, if they could fail."
"They'll return,"
Bobble murmured, pages trembling once more. "Won't they?" Zelly shrugged, and both Snabla and Balby gulped. An image flashed before her eyes of Aldora Steelstrike charging toward the diminutive kobold, and the flustered book sword flashing, teeth gnashing, a snarl tearing out of her throat before Undying Blade chopped them in two. Class was about to begin, but Zelly hesitated at the door. She watched Hugo, Snabla, and Balba go forward. Chilled, she forced herself to follow.
"They aren't teaching us to hold hands and sing tra-la-la with adventurers," she reminded them.
Again, the book beneath her arm felt weighty, impossibly heavy.
"Once you leave this mountain, you're on your own in the dungeons, and the dungeons are where heroes go to hunt."
That concludes chapter two of D&D Dungeon Academy No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue and illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing.